Amen. Thank you, brother. This is on today.
Okay. All right, so we left off last week. I think we were in verse 7, Habakkuk 2:7. And we're going to get into some doctrinal things here, some meat. And so shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that thou vex thee, that shall vex thee, that and thou shalt be for booties unto them. So this whole time we've been talking about the Habakkuk. It's all about Second Advent, Daniel's 70th week. Okay, so everything you're dealing with here doctrinally is dealing with the Jew, and it's specifically during Daniel's 70th week. So you see that here. We talked about the Antichrist many times. We're identifying that man of sin, the son of perdition. We're seeing him here showing up in the scriptures. And so it's important that you begin to pick these things out, because the second most talked about person in the entire Bible is the Antichrist. Okay, Lucifer, Satan, and he becomes the Antichrist. So obviously Jesus Christ is the main subject of the Bible, but you'll see the Antichrist, and he comes up, he keeps coming up in different books, especially in the Old Testament. And how you identify him is comparing scripture with scripture. But let's look at verse 7 here. Notice it says, and thou shalt be booties unto them. Well, that's like spoil in war. Okay, it's like things that are stolen. He said, behold, I come as a thief in the night. So he's saying that somebody's going to awake and shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. So who's the them, and who's the awake? And so we got these different groups. And so we're going to be talking about a little bit about this in Daniel's 70th week. And this is where it does get a little bit confusing if you're reading the Gospels, or you're reading Hebrews, or you're reading some of these different, or Revelation, because there's different groups, just like you have in the church age. You've got different groups here as far as the rapture is concerned, okay? But you also have some different groups talked about here in Daniel's 70th week. And this is where you can get confused and think you can lose your salvation, because you're talking about verses that have to do with this period here. The 7 years of tribulation, some teach it as 3.5. We're just going to keep it as a simple, we're going to teach it as a 7 for simplicity's sake, but we've got some different groups here, okay? So you've got the martyred saints, which we'll talk about, okay? These are the souls under the altar in Revelation 6, 9, and 10, okay? You've got the remnant over here that endures unto the end, that are going to be here alive when the Lord returns, and then you've got a post-tribulation rapture of a different group that goes up and comes back down with the Lord, okay? So you've got three different groups here, and then you also have those that go back under perdition that lose something, okay? And then we'll talk about that. So we're going to look at some verses dealing with these different groups. Let's go to Daniel 12:2. Let's compare scripture with scripture. Daniel 12:2. Verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Okay, so what time are we talking about? What time? Time of Jacob's trouble. Okay. We went to Jacob or Jeremiah 30, verse 7. We've identified that. Now look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So you've got two different groups here, right? Now remember back in Habakkuk 2:7. Shall they not rise up suddenly? Shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. Okay, so I want you to notice in Daniel 12:2, you see the comma? All right, some are going to wake, some to everlasting life, comma, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All right, so when you go over there in the Gospels in John 11, and the Lord comes to Martha, and he explains to her that I am the resurrection and the life, right? See, let's go to John 11 just to look at the verse. So everybody in the Old Testament, all these Jews, they understood about the judgment that was coming. That's nothing new. That's not a mystery. There's mysteries that are given to Paul, but at this time, look at John 11:24. This is after the Lord says, thy brother shall rise again. John 11:24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay, that's the general resurrection that they all understood. That would be the great white throne of judgment. Okay? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, what are we celebrating today?
Resurrection.
The resurrection, yeah. Right? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, or so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. All right, so it was an understood thing. You got this right here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, talking about the resurrection. But what they did not see is the time gap in between. Okay, notice once again, you go back to Daniel 12, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All right. So we talked about there's going to be three different groups that you'll see that are going to be in the tribulation. The fourth is right here that go back into perdition, okay? But we're talking about those that are saved, that are going to be saved, okay? So we have already talked about Habakkuk 2:7. Let's go over here to Isaiah 26. Now, folks, if you don't get this the first go around, don't feel bad. Okay, there's a lot of stuff here. That's why I'm trying to break it down to you as simply as I know how, so that you can decipher and look at the different groups, okay? But notice the wording in the passage. Well, for context, look at verse 17. Like as a woman with child. You remember where we saw that before? As a woman in travail, every man with his hands upon his loins, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, okay? Jeremiah 30, verse 6 and 7. Okay, so we understand that. We have been with child, verse 18. We have been in pain, okay? She's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, okay? That's James 5. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise, awake, and sing. Ye that dwell in the dust, see this? For thy dew is as a dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So you see the awake, just like he talks about over here in Daniel, just like he talks about in Habakkuk 2:7. All right, so somebody's going to be awaked. Somebody's going to come up, all right? But what's happened to these people? Well, let's go to Revelation 6. So these are the martyred saints. These are the ones that get a crown of life. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, notice a little, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. All right? So this is, we're talking about the same people over here. Go back to Isaiah 26. Look at verse 20. Revelation 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Their earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. We're talking about the same exact event. Okay, they're saying, how long, Lord? How long before you're going to avenge our blood on these people that killed us? All right, what kind of death did they die? Let's go to, I know I'm jumping around a lot here, but let's go to Revelation chapter 12. This is why you see so much in the book of Revelation about overcoming. Here's the difference, folks. You've already overcome. Because why? You're in Christ. You don't have to overcome anything. You don't have to endure unto anything. Because he's already endured. You're in the body of Christ. These people are not. When you get into Daniel's 70th week, God starts dealing with nations again, two different groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. Right now, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. You see the difference? So if you fail to see the difference, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 11. Notice this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You see that the death? It's a specific kind of death. In Greek, you would call that a definite article. It's not in italics. It's in bold type. So it's definite article just means the. It's specific. Okay, so let's see what kind of death they died. Look at Revelation 20. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which they had, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. See that? So these are folks that are martyred for the word of God and their testimony. Okay? They would not take the mark. Is that you and I? No. We're not going to be living. We're going to be living, but we're going to be up there. Okay? We're not going to be down here when those things take place. All right? So that's Isaiah 26. All right? Look at Psalm 50. Look at Psalm 50, verse 1. Psalm 50, verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. So from east to west, right? Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined as the sun of righteousness. He's going to return with healing in his wings, right? Okay, that's Malachi 4:2. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Now let's stop there. Hold your place in Psalm 50. We have to exposit these things. Look at the New Testament. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Paul talks about these things, doesn't he? Paul was given revelation. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1. Let's look at verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. All right? So if you want to reign with God, you're going to have to suffer with him. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice that. Here's the revelation. This is second advent. Look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is when he's revealed from heaven, every eye is going to see him. And there's going to be flaming fire that goes out before him. And he's going to judge the earth in righteousness. He'll judge and make war. You see the difference? We're not going to be living during that period. We're going to be up with him. Okay? But this is a different group. So go back to Psalm 50. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. All right? He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Who's his people? The Jew. All right? Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Okay? This is what he's talking about. Gather my saints together unto me. Notice this. Those that have made a covenant with me by their sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. All right? They made a covenant with me by sacrifice. What did they sacrifice? Their lives. They loved not their lives unto the death. All right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. You see how people can get tripped up thinking you can lose it? It's not hard. You just don't rightly divide the word, and you'll run across verses, and it'll scare you to death. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Well, first of all, let's put this thing into context. Look at verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. See that? So what are we talking about? What's period? Daniel's 70th week, right? That's not you and I. We're confirmed under the end, 1 Corinthians. This is not us. This is somebody else. Look at verse, look over here at verse 32, or verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He's quoting Micah. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh his light, or taketh not his cross, and falleth after me is not worthy of me. He that, notice this, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. See that right there? Somebody made a sacrifice of their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to have to take place. If you want to make it, well, we'll flip this real fast. If somebody's living in this time period here, okay, the gospel of the grace of God, it's over. What are they preaching here? Kingdom gospel. To the Jew, to the Gentile, they're preaching the everlasting gospel. Fear God and give glory to Him. All right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what John the Baptist preached, and that's what Peter continued to preach. Well, right now, what are we preaching? The gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for our sins, and He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, right? That's for individual. But at the end of this thing, this nation of Israel is going to be born again nationally. You understand the difference? There's differences, okay? So these things are taking place, and in order to be saved in this time period, you're going to have to endure to the end. You can't take the mark, all right? There's one option, which is a slim option, okay? You're going to have to get martyred for the Word of God and for your testimony, because if you preach Jesus Christ and you don't bow down to the Antichrist, down to His image, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 3, all right, Revelation 13, you're going to get your head cut off. Revelation 20, verse 4. So you're going to be martyred, and you're going to go down here and wait to the end of this thing, or you're going to be one of those that are sealed, 144,000 Jewish virgins, all right, and then they're going to be raptured, which I'll go into. See the three different groups? So if you start taking verses out of context and you start trying to apply those things over here in the church age, you're going to think you can lose it, which is every mainline Protestant, Catholic, amillennial, postmillennial, all those kind of denominations, that's what they do. That's why people think they can lose their salvation. Where are they getting it? They're getting it from the Bible, just not rightly divided. Is it making sense? All right, those five young men that got saved yesterday, guess what we preached to them? The gospel of the grace of God. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. You don't preach the kingdom gospel in the church age. You preach individual salvation for the believer. Blood atonement. That's what we preached. The atonement, the payment for sins individually. But in that time period there, you better believe that thing's different. Now, that's heresy to a lot of people, and that means nothing to me. Because, listen, you can't take these verses and cram these things into the church age because they don't fit. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 3. This is why I wanted to teach Revelation, but it was like, nah, it's not time, because there's too much stuff to cover before you even get into it. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Remember the white raiment. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, what did I just read you in Matthew 10? If they deny the Father, if they deny the Son, He's going to deny them before the Father. You know what happens if you deny the Son right now? You know what you lose? Rewards. Not your salvation. 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Hold your place in Revelation. Look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. How do you know this? Look at verse 12. If we suffer, that's what he told the Thessalonians, that's what they were doing. We shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Notice the colon. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Why? Because you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. If you want a verse on eternal security, that's a great one. If you want a verse that says you can lose it, go to Hebrews, go to Matthew, go to Acts, go all kind of places. But you go to that right there, that's why I spent so much time teaching Romans. Because you've got to understand, you're saved by the grace of God. But we're dealing with different groups over here now. Okay? Are we tracking? I know this is a lot of Bible, and I'm trying to get through it somewhat quickly, but we'll go back to Revelation 3. All right, so you're going to, somebody's having their name blotted out of the book of life. Well, is that you? All right, can anybody remember a group that their names were blotted out of the book in the Old Testament? Let's go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold, so they're idolaters." What's going to take place in the tribulation? He's going to set up an image, right? Amen? "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," there's the pause, "and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." What did they get blotted out for? Idolatry. What's the Antichrist? What's one of his names? The idol shepherd. And there's going to be some that fall away to that Antichrist, just like they did to the king of Babylon and Jeremiah. All right, so that's a different group, okay? So you can see how this thing's different. All right, let me flip this thing back over. So you've got some martyred saints. You've got Ezekiel 37, right? Remember, he's talking about gathering people. This is the valley of dry bones, right? Let's look at Ezekiel 37. For sake of time, if you know the passage, go down to verse 9. "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Now, you remember in John 20, what the Lord said to his disciples? He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Remember that? That breath is type, wind is type of the Holy Ghost, as it is here. But you'll notice in Matthew 24, he's going to gather his elect from the four winds of the earth. Same instance right here. Look at verse 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Notice this. "Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." This is an army that's going to come up, and they're going to go into the land. These are the souls under the altar in Revelation 6, get their heads cut off, and they're going to come up. There's a valley of dry bones. This is the whole house of Israel. This is what Paul's talking about. Look at Romans 11. All right, so when you spiritualize these passages, as folks, there's people falling left and right from biblical doctrine nowadays, and the people that used to believe the book are now going against the Jew. And they're saying, the church has replaced Israel, which we have not. This is what he's talking about here. Look at Romans 11. Verse 25, "Why would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits?" They're wise in their own conceits. "That blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." All right, so we got the martyred saints. You have the remnant. That's what Paul's talking about here. These are the ones that are going to be living. They live through the tribulation. They don't take the mark. They're going to be called out in the wilderness. The Lord's going to lure them. All right, they're going to be living in Selah Petra, all that stuff. We'll be here for 6 months talking about everything. But look at Habakkuk 2:8. Notice the remnant. Habakkuk 2:8. "Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood and for the violence of the land and of the city and of all that dwell therein." Remember that? Revelation 6. How long, Lord? How long before you avenge our blood? That's who this is talking. So this remnant is the ones who make it. Okay? They don't take the mark. Look at Isaiah 10, verse 22. Paul quotes this in the New Testament. You'll see it in parentheses under there. That's Romans 9:27. He's quoting this verse, Isaiah 10. Verse 21, well, look at 20. Look at the paragraph mark in verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as escaped out of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is that are escaped. Remember when he says, when you see this take place, the abomination of desolation, then flee to the mountains. They escape. When they start seeing those things come to pass, he says, get out. Okay, the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determine in the midst of the land. That's the abomination of desolation that takes place. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of, notice this, the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. Verse 25, for yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. Same things. So this is the remnant that's going to escape. Okay, this is Zechariah 12:14. I've been over this one. This is all the families that remain. All right, now look at Luke. Look at Luke 12. Now, do you think this is a pretty bad time period that's coming up? Right? Do you think it's worth getting somebody the gospel before they have to go through this? Like I said a bunch of times, it's not just about coming in here. Learning all, this is all well and good, but the rubber meets the road out there. Amen? Now, look at here. Luke 12, verse 31. He says this is the Lord speaking, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Notice the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Now, can you see how that you could get into that right there? Sell that ye have. That's what they did in the first church. They had all things common. Matter of fact, that's where Karl Marx gets communism from, okay? But can you see how you could take that thing and twist it and say, oh, good works. Oh, sell that you have. Do good things because you're taking something. You're resting the scriptures to your own destruction. All right? That's not us right here. Continue reading. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Nothing wrong with that verse, practically speaking, right? Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, okay? That's Colossians 3. But and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Notice it says he returns from the wedding. All right, so. Where is the wedding taking place? Up here. When the Lord returns from the wedding, there's going to be this remnant that's waiting on the Lord. All right? And they're going to have on a wedding garment. Matthew 22, everybody read that parable? Remember that? And there's somebody that's at that wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb, not the wedding itself. There's going to be somebody sitting down there that doesn't have on a wedding garment. Is that you? I mean, you got to rightly divide. You ever looked at that verse and said, who's he talking about? All right? So there's going to be somebody. Look it over here in Revelation 3 again. Revelation 3. Go back to verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Right? Go to Revelation 16. Lo and behold, look at 16:15. Look what he says. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. All right, go to Revelation 19. Let's see what these garments are. Revelation 19:8. Talking about the bride, the lamb up here, and it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You see that? So they've got their garments that are washed in the blood. They kept their garments. They didn't lose them. Is that you? No, you're sealed until the day of redemption. But there's going to be some. We'll flip this back over. You as the church, the bride of Christ, as body, you're sealed until the day of redemption. But there's going to be some that go back under perdition. They're sealed until the day of perdition in the tribulation. There's going to be some servants. They back away. We'll skip to down here real fast because I want you to see this in the scripture. All right? So you've got these here that go back into perdition. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And then we'll go to Matthew 24. You'll see the differences here. Matthew chapter 10. Now remember, he's quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. You remember that a couple weeks ago? We went through that. Look at verse 39, Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Okay? All right, now who would that be? Let's go to this obscure passage in Matthew 24. If you've ever read these, it can be quite confusing. Notice what he says. Look at Matthew 24. Verse 44, talking about the same thing, being ready. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. See, the Son of Man, it's a Jewish designation. That coincides with Daniel 7:13, when he cometh on clouds. All right? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Remember the foolish and wise virgins? Matthew 25, okay? Whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. This is why people say, well, if you don't do, you can lose it. Because they're taking this verse right out of here, out of context. Look at here. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. For the days of Noah, they shall be eating, drinking, and marrying, giving in marriage. Right? Then the flood comes. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion. With the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember that? Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. These folks are going to come up over here, great white throne of judgment. They don't have their garments. They didn't keep their garments. Why? Because they went after the Antichrist. And they lose it. And these are his servants. Look at Matthew 25. Look at Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He's giving you another parable about the same group of people. All right? Now look at verse... Look at verse 25. This is the unfaithful servant. This is that wicked and slothful servant. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's he lose? Salvation. He's taken out of the book. That's not you and I. Somebody else.
You could lose it in the tribulation. They start out as his servants. They fall back. They fall away. See that? They go back into perdition. This is who this is here. They begin to eat and drink with the drunken. They say, oh, the Lord delays his coming. Well, not to get too deep into it. We're already deep enough. Part of the reason for that, more than likely, when you go to Daniel 12, you're going to see different time periods. Look at Daniel 12, and we'll go to it. Go to Daniel 12. Look at 12:9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Who looses the seals? The Lamb, or the lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 5, right? Many shall be purified and made white. There's the white. And tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Notice this, but the wise shall understand. Remember the wise virgins? What do the wise virgins have? Oil, type of the Holy Spirit. The unwise don't have it. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, so 1,290. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days, but go thy way till the end be, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. See the different time periods? You also have different time periods in Revelation, the 3.5 years. So, obviously, whoever this is that falls away, says, I, the Lord's, he's not coming back. He says, blessed are they, right, that waiteth for the coming of the Lord. And that's the remnant. The ones that don't wait, they lose their garments. All right, and they go back into perdition. Okay, so that's that group. Now let's get to this last group. You've got what you call a post-tribulation rapture. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Reason it's called a post-tribulation rapture is because you'll see here in Revelation chapter 11 that it's after the second woe, and then the third woe comes after that, which is the second advent of Jesus Christ. So we'll go back to Revelation 11. He's going to say, come up hither. All right, look it over here in verse 10. This is after the two witnesses are slain. Verse 10 of Revelation 11:10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? They're sending gifts to one another. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and it gave glory to the God of heaven. There's the remnant. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. All right, so the second woe is past. Notice it says the third woe cometh quickly. Go back to Revelation 22. Look what he says. Look at Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. See that? Look down at verse 20. He which testifieth these things, say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. So the second woe is past. There's somebody that gets reaped from the earth. All right? They're going to go up. So you've got a group, for sake of time, Revelation chapter 7. 144,000 Jews. Go to Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. That's the one up in heaven. And with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads, these ones are sealed. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that psalm but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. The redeemed, they're standing up there in the third heaven.
at the end of the tribulation, they're up there. All right, notice they're the first fruits. Okay, the first fruits is the first in the series of a thing. Okay, you got the first fruits. All right, these are the 144,000 Jewish virgins up here. Like I said, you've got martyred saints and you've got a remnant. Okay, first fruits is there, second group is here, third group is here. Amen? Okay, so that's what you, when you read those passages, that's what it's, those are different groups it's talking about. Everything is having to do with Daniel's 70th week. Okay? All right. And there's more we could go into, but I think that's probably enough for today. Any questions on all that we just covered? No question? I guarantee there's a question. Somebody's got a question. I got questions. Somebody's got to have a question. That's what it looks like. Yeah, well, because the second woe is passed. Third woe is the second advent of Jesus Christ. That's what you'll read in verse 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ in verse 15. Okay? So that's why you call it a post-tribulation rapture. So when you're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives the order. I'm going backwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, his question for those that are listening is talking about the 144,000 being raptured up with Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses. 1 Corinthians 15, notice this right here, 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Remember those that came up after the resurrection? Matthew 27, walked around the city. All right, those are Old Testament saints. They come up. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Gates of hell cannot prevail against Jesus Christ. He's got the keys of hell and death. He took somebody with him. Right? It's a jailbreak. Right? All right. Every man his own order. Christ the first fruits. After they that are Christ at his coming. Okay, there's us. There's the harvest. Notice this. Then cometh the end. There's always three parts. There's three parts to any harvest. First fruits. Which I just did some hay on Friday, and it's part of the first fruits. Okay? You got the harvest, and then you got the gleanings or the end. Okay? So when it says in Revelation 20, verse 6, I think it is, blessed are they who hath part in the first resurrection, for the second death shall have no power over them. This is all part of the first resurrection. The second resurrection is the resurrection unto eternal damnation. Resurrection of the dead. Okay? So that's who's coming up there at the great white throne. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. For this is the second death. We will not taste the second death because Jesus Christ already did. See? He is the resurrection. That's what this day is about, right? Okay? So, does that answer your question? Okay. Anyone else? Yep. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. They wanted to worship Moses' body. The Lord knows that. They would have made an idol out of him, no doubt, just like they did that serpent in the wilderness. When you're talking about Moses and Elijah, okay, not to get too much into the two witnesses there, but you got one that can turn water into blood. You got one that can bring fire down from heaven. Who's that? Moses and Elijah. You'll see it in the book of Malachi, the last two figures that are named. Look at Malachi chapter 4. It's a good question. Look at verse 4. Malachi 4:4. He's going to send his messenger before his face. Okay, we know that. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, but look at Malachi 4:4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, which with the statutes and judgments, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
See that? So you got, and there's more to that study on Moses and Elijah. Some try to make that the two witnesses. One of them's Enoch. It cannot be Enoch. Enoch's a type of the church. Enoch's the only one who ever gets raptured. He never dies. Never dies. Just like you that are alive and remain at his coming. You'll be raptured up. He that believeth in me shall never die. Okay? Anyone else? Any other? That's a good question. Any other questions on that? Okay, so I urge you to try to go home, and if you can, watch these things again. I don't have all the answers, folks. I can tell you this right now. Nobody's got the market cornered on this book. I'm just trying to give you what the Lord's given me, trying to decipher between different groups, because it can be quite confusing if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, if you don't understand the divisions of different groups of people. You'll try to cram all that together and make it all the same, and then it'll be confusing. Amen? Okay. Right. Right. So that what he's talking about being the selective rapture, they go to Matthew 24, two be in the field, one take and the other left, right? Okay. Well, what's Matthew 24's context? Daniel 70th week, right? So yeah, that's where they get that kind of stuff. We're in the body of Christ. You couldn't take the mark if you wanted to. Okay, because you gotta look at it this way. If you could take the mark of the beast, that means a part of the body of Christ could go to hell. Can that take place? No. He has the keys of hell and death. You're sealed until the day of redemption because you're in his body. These folks in the tribulation, they're not in Christ. Now, it says they're in the Lord. Now, that's a different study in and of itself, but that's a different group. Dealing with nations, dealing with groups of people. That's why he judges the nations when he returns. Okay? That's good. Good points, because these are things commonly brought up. Okay? Any other questions? All right. We'll go ahead and pray then. All right, Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the study of your word, and we just thank you for the truth you've given us here in the King James Authorized Version. And you've preserved your word for us, so we don't have to be confused in these last days. We can trust what you say. And I just pray, Lord, for the service today. Pray for Brother Barry as he leads the choir. Pray for our pastor as he brings a message. And I pray that if anybody's lost in this house today, that they'd be saved today, that they just receive Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin before it's too late. And Father, I just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen.